everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise God indeed. It's so neat when we come in and them having choir practice again. It just changes the whole entrance, it seems. I know that this gives us a chance just to get loosened up and get ready for service tonight. So let's all stand. Let's get ready for church as we get ready. It's a wonderful, beautiful day the Lord's given us.
Amen.
We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If there's anyone that has a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Also, as we were coming over tonight, there were a couple of more text blasts coming out of prayer requests, and there's seems like there's been so many. So let's continue each and every situation. And for the you watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. If you have a prayer request, put it in the comments section. We'd love to pray with you to the Almighty God in the name of Jesus. Well, we'll go to the Lord in prayer now. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for this beautiful day you've given us, dear Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come together in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come in with anticipation, dear Lord, as we come in, and Lord, we've been hearing your songs of praise and worship because we came in this evening. Lord, we just want to continue that spirit, dear Lord. May we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, ready to receive the message you have for us tonight. Dear Lord, ready to receive your holy presence. Dear Lord, again, as we gather together tonight, we always want to remember those prayer requests. Lord, those spoken and unspoken, those that have come across through whatever technique, through text blast or phone calls. Lord, those that are in our prayer box, and dear Lord, those that are watching online with us, dear Lord, their prayer requests. Dear Lord, we know that you're the Almighty God. And dear Lord, we're releasing them to you now. And dear Lord, we're placing them into your mighty hands. Lord, we ask you to heal, to mend, to protect. Lord, we're asking you to provide for those situations, dear Lord, as we get ready and just continue in our journey. But, dear Lord, I want to pray for those that are lost this evening, dear Lord, those that have not committed themselves to you and, dear Lord, not received you as their Lord and Savior. Dear Lord, even those that are struggling or seem to have gone their own way, Lord, we're asking for you now just to give them that opportunity, dear Lord, to come to an altar of repentance. Dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Dear Lord, you're the most important thing that we have. And, dear Lord, we thank you and we love you and we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says...
Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. Good to have y'all here with us on this Sunday evening, and good to have our guest and all the others that we haven't seen in a while getting to come back now. We're just seeing, most of all, to get our choir practice started again. Just really excited about that as they are handing out candy. Praise God, praise God. Well, we're going to do a congregational. If y'all would, while you're standing, turn to page 333, if my voice holds up. I'll Fly Away, page 333.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er.
Fly away
to the home on God's celestial shore.
Fly away,
fly away,
fly away,
fly away.
Amen. I just want to let y'all know how much God loves you. And He's so glad for everything that He's given us. We just want to praise Him and just worship Him. You may be seated if you can. We sing that song, and I just think so much about what Lord has in store for us as we go. And as time goes forward, I'm just really looking forward to it. Just praise God. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and continue with the service tonight. We're going to take up our evening offering. Also, I don't have any other announcements beside the multi-church thing, and I'll announce it again next week. So make plans. Also, go ahead, like I said this morning, mark on your calendar, March 20th, that Sunday night, we're going to have our multi-church service. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to join in with the other churches like we did before Christmas. Get this a routine going, and because you know, God is the same God. And we just love and praise Him. Praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen.
Run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all his stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way when there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.
Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years? Tell the past to disappear, oh. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh,
he makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.
His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Change your life. Amen.
end. No chance for me to ever leave this prison of my sin. Now I know it might sound crazy, but one day a key unlocked that cell. I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free. No more darkness, guilt has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell at my feet. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free. Now I ain't nothing perfect, I still stumble every day. I still get knocked down, but the difference now, that's not where I stay. Cause I got a Savior who knows everywhere I've been. And he's telling me that I never have to go back there again. So now I'm walking, walking, walking free. No more darkness, guilt has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell at my feet. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free. To the one walking wounded, and to the one with regret, look up and see your victory is just up ahead. Cause there is a Savior who knows everywhere you've been. He's telling me that you never have to go back there again. So now I'm walking, walking, walking free. No more darkness, guilt has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell at my feet. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free. Darkness, guilt has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell at my feet. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free.
God, let's give the Lord the glory. Amen, amen. Well, we're just really excited about everything that each service, and I know God knows exactly what we need, but we're honored. Brother David Gresham's going to come up and do a song for us tonight. Praise Him. But that's right. You sure can.
Bless Him, Lord.
So good to be with you fine folks tonight. How many love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I really didn't come to sing. I just come to be fed, but worship the Lord with you folks. Amen. Because I love the Lord and I know you do too. Praise God. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, it's my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Feeble life is old. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, to thy shore, thy golden shore. Help me sing it.
Just a closer walk
with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
One more time. Just a closer walk with thee, Jesus, it's my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Thank you.
Praise your name, Jesus.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Bless praise you, God.
I hope I can do this. Chris asked me if I would sing the goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
And since I had the, you know, that thing that everybody talks about, it's kind of messed with my vocal cords, but God will help me through it. Amen. Y'all worship with me.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing the goodness of God. with every breath that I am able. Oh, I've received of the goodness of God.
Message. Amen. I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And that's a song that I could never finish, by the way, because His goodness, it goes on and on and on. The Lord is so good tonight. It's good to see each and every one of you. We asked Brother Chris this morning how he was feeling. He was already here in the sound booth, and he sort of smiled and said, "Not too good." But I said, "Well, I kind of want you to preach for us tonight." He said, "I can do that." And, you know, I'm praying for him that the Lord has blessed him. And I know they've had some sickness, but I think tonight it was just meant to be for Brother Chris. And Brother Chris, I was thinking of what Daddy always said. Said, "Son, there's two times to go to church. That's when you feel like it and when you don't." So I guess that applies to preaching too. Amen. And I'm just praying that the Lord will deliver you and anoint you tonight in a mighty way. And not only to bring the word through you, but to touch your body. Brother Chris, come and obey the Lord tonight. Everybody say, "Lord, bless him." Amen. God bless you, my brother.
Well, I tell you, with a song like that, you think about the goodness of God, and you can just think about the words of that song. "All my life, you have been faithful." We think back upon our life and we tend to, as humans, look at the low points of our life. God was always right there, Brother Thomas. In the high points of our life, God was always right there. I'm reminded of what the psalmist said, "Where can I go from the presence of God? If I ascend up into heaven, He is there. If I make my bed in the lowest hell, He is there." That should excite somebody. And everywhere in between. Sometimes we make our bed on the mountaintop. Sometimes it's in the lowest part that we make our bed. But isn't it good to know that Jesus is always right there with us? Always right there with us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He never sleeps, never slumbers. Sister Linda, He knows what we're going through. He fashioned us in the likeness of His own image. Amen. Amen. We should say, "Thank you, Jesus." We should just worship the Lord. Amen. Tonight, I want to do something. We're going to have a lot of scripture, which is good. But I want to just really get into something and just kind of really be real. And just what the Lord has really laid on my heart. I want to go to John chapter number 21. It's the last chapter of the book of John. Chapter number 21. Let's start down in verse number 1. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. "And after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the sea, Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of His disciples." Verse number 3 says, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." That night they caught nothing. Brother Eddie, if you will pray over the message and the messenger.
Gracious Heavenly Father, how we love you and how we thank you, God, for this night, this opportunity to come into your house to worship.
Father, we pray your blessing and we pray your anointing. Touch Brother Chris tonight, God. Anoint his lips of clay, God, and speak through him tonight. God, I pray that you would anoint his body as well. God, open our ears and our hearts of understanding that we'll be receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word tonight. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If I had a title for the message tonight, it would just simply be Searching for Jesus. I gave that to Brother Greg, and he said, is that going to be part of a series? Y'all don't know that was a show the History Channel had many, many moons ago, Searching for Jesus. You know, I told him, I said, I knew if anybody was going to get that, you would. So but in John chapter number 21, we come across Peter. Peter was a very strong-willed person. Right. Peter was one of those people that if you were trying to plead a cause, you wanted him on your side. You wanted this guy on your side to plead a cause because he was going to really let you know what he thought. He was really a strong personality. You ever have anybody like that? You ever meet anybody like that? Just a really strong personality. Peter was very influential in a lot of people's lives. Peter was what you call a leader, not a follower. He was born to lead. Born so much to lead that Jesus looked at him and said, today thou art called Peter. I will build my church on you. You are the rock of the church. Not saying that he was the center of the church, but you're going to be influential in the furtherment of the kingdom. You see, Peter had something going on in his life that all of us here have going on. We're human. I know, that's a shock, isn't it? You're a human. We feel things. We hurt. We're emotional. That's what we do. I said we're emotional. I'm not going to get very many amens on that, am I? We're an emotional creature. We cry. We hurt. We get mad. We get in pain. We need help. We need a Savior. Amen? Y'all ain't with me yet. Y'all be with me here in just a little bit. It's all right. I'm going to keep on going. Peter was at the point in time in his life where he'd seen Jesus, Brother Eddie, be crucified. He'd watched him be crucified, but he also knew what he saw Jesus do. He was there when he saw Lazarus being raised up out of the grave. Peter was right there with him. He was there when he saw the leper be healed. He was there when the blinded eyes were open. All great miracles of Jesus. Peter knew that Jesus could do anything. But yet, in hearing about how Jesus had passed, it did something to his heart. It sent him into a place he didn't really want to be. It was unfamiliar territory. It was uncharted waters. Spiritually speaking, he didn't want to be there. He was sorrowful. You know, too many times we think God can heal cancer. God can heal our diseases. God can heal COVID. We know he can. We've seen him do it. But not enough times do we give God enough credit for healing our internal diseases, like depression. If you've ever fought depression, you know what I'm talking about. You just want to cry at times. You go through spells where all you want to do is cry. It doesn't have anything to do with, yo, you're not saved, or you need Jesus. We all need Jesus. That's a fact. Amen? It has to do with the place we're at in our life where God has taken us to. I mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning, whenever the disciples got on the ship and Jesus was in the bottom part of the ship, you remember the story, and he was asleep. I said, you know, they set out because they were going somewhere. If they would have stayed in the safety of the harbor, they never would have met the storm, Sister Wendy. They never would have been in the storm. They never would have been in the position to where they're feared for their lives, Brother Thomas, if they would have just stayed at the harbor. That's not God's plan for our life. If we're ever going to go somewhere spiritually with God, we have to cut loose the ties of the harbor, the safety of the harbor, and we have to set sail with God, remembering that wherever we go, he goes with us. And he's not going to leave us or forsake us. As they go out across the ship, they look and they're frightened. We all know the story. They say, we're going to die, we're going to die. Go wake up the master. The master calls and calms the sea. A lot of times in our spiritual boat, we're in a rough storm. Peter was there in John chapter 21. He didn't know what to do. Many times I find myself in that same situation. Lord, I love you, but I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand why it has to be this way. Peter looked back and he was a fisherman, Brother Thomas. That's what he did by trade. That's all he knew. His family were fishermen. His great-grandpa was fisherman. It's interesting. Me and Tabitha went on a cruise a few years ago to Belize. And our tour guide was telling us, you know, whatever you do growing up, you're going to do for the rest of your life. And your kids are going to do it, and your kids are going to do it. If you pick fruit, that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. If you make tacos and sell them at the street corner, that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Your parents and the grandparents, your kids and their kids are going to do that because that's what you do. That's all Peter knew. He was used to being a fisherman. So he sits by the seashore and he looks out. And you know he's got so much sorrow in his heart. And I can just imagine that he's had him a good crying session. I'm not talking about a crying session where I say, woe is me, I'm such a poor, pitiful. I'm talking about sometimes you just have to open up the tears and just let it flow. Sometimes you just, the only way for your heart to talk is through the tears. If you've ever had that happen, I want to let you know that's all right. That's all right. And I also want to let you know every tear you've ever cried, my Jesus has bottled up. He ain't forgot about you. Every prayer you've ever prayed, he ain't forgot about you. Somebody needs to hear that. Don't you quit praying. He ain't forgot about you. Lord, I don't know when you're going to answer that prayer. In God's timing. In God's timing. Look, Job said, Lord, I might as well be dead. You took my children and everything I had. I'm hurting all over. But I know, God, that you're going to see me through this. I know, God, you're going to see me through this. And just like Peter, God's going to see him through it. So he looks around and he said, I go a-fishing. I'm going to go back to what I knew before, and that's where I'm going to stay. He stands up, and Peter, in his influential spirit, everybody follows Peter. Wherever Peter's going to go, everybody follows him. We'll go with you, Peter. All right. So they go out. How many of y'all have ever worked the night shift? Anybody ever had to work the night shift? Now, that's a whole different creature in itself. It's a whole. How many of you ever worked part of the night shift and all of the day shift? That'll mess you up. I promise you, because you've worked all night. And about 3 or 4 a.m., you think, man, about time for that sun to rise. Spiritually, we look around and we say, God, it's been all night long. But you don't understand, God, it's been all night long. I've prayed and I've cried all night long. Not just tonight, but last night I did the same thing. The night before that, I did the same thing. God, when's it ever going to end? And Peter said, let's go fishing. They fished all night long. And I want to tell you something. I was going down the road and I got this, the Lord just spoke to me, got this revelation. When a sailor is lost at sea, and if it's at nighttime, they're able to follow the stars. They're able to follow the moon and the stars and be able to see where they're at. But when a sailor is lost at sea, the first thing they look for is what? Dry land. Well, that's not the first thing they should be looking for. The first thing they should be looking for is the birds. You know why? Because you're going to be able to see the birds before you see the dry land. As we're on our spiritual journey, we're in the water. Too many times we're focused, Brother Kevin, on looking at the land. God, I'm just looking for the land. You ever been looking at something so long? Gabriel say, Dad, I think I see a deer on that field right there. I say, looks like a turkey to me. He said, Dad, I'm telling you, it's got horns. I don't see it. Here, take the binoculars. Oh, it's a deer. Wow. You know what the difference was? I was trying to look through myself. When we put on our spiritual, come on, somebody. Come on, and ain't nobody with me right yet. You put on our spiritual binoculars. Oh, hallelujah. We can begin to see, the Bible refers to the Holy Ghost as a dove. Coming, oh, come on, somebody. Y'all ain't picking up what I'm putting down. We start looking for those birds, and we start seeing the heavenly doves. You know what that is? That's the birds coming in to take care of us. God, you know, the prophet was praying, and he prayed in a time of famine. Brother Eddie preached a fantastic message about the time of spiritual famine. But he was in a time of famine, and he said,
go and see if there's any clouds. Sent his messenger. Said, I'm going to sit here and pray and go and see if there's any clouds. He went one time, didn't see nothing. Brother David, two times, didn't see nothing. Three times, didn't see nothing. Got to the seventh time. And the messenger said, I see a little cloud, and it looks like a man's hand. Y'all ever look at the clouds and say, man, that looks like a horse, or that looks like, but it looks like a man's hand. Why would it look like a man's hand? Because God's hand was coming to bring the rain. God's hand, that same hand that delivers from depression, was coming to deliver. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all ain't never walked through nothing like that. Y'all ain't never been through nothing like that. You should be praising the Lord. Hallelujah, that he brought you through something like that. Because if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here today. We would be lost on our way to a devil's hell if it wasn't for God. I think about that song my wife sang. All my life, he has been faithful. But I also think about Brother Thomas when it talks about his goodness is running after me. Ooh-wee. That does something for me, especially when I'm going through something. And I think about my goodness. Oh, God Almighty, the goodness of God is running after me. David said, hallelujah. He said in the book of Psalms, chapter number 23, that goodness and mercy shall follow me for most of the days of my life. All of the days of my life. He said all of the days. In the good times, mercy and goodness are following me. In the bad times, mercy and goodness are following me. When I stop, mercy and goodness are right behind me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They're always right there with me. Long story short, in John 21, they look. They've toiled all night. Not caught a thing. Man, this is how they make their living. Not only are they not going to eat, they're not going to be able to feed their family, literally. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do? They look, and there's Jesus on the shore. And he's got a little fire. And he said, children, have you any meat? Interesting that he calls them children. He refers to them as toddlers. Y'all used to be grown up when I walked with you. But now your faith has got so laxed that now you're toddlers again, and I have to talk to you like toddlers. Y'all ain't never had God talk to you like you were a toddler. Come on and say, come on now. We got to get this in line. You know, let's get this show back on the road again. Come on, straighten it up. Let's go. Here we go. We got somewhere to be. You better be ready. Come on. Amen. And we got to check ourselves. That's because he loves us. Amen. And he's not going to just let us sit by the wayside. He's going to use us for his glory. That's what we're designed to do. That's what, newsflash, that's what you're on this earth to do. Not just to take up space, but to be used by God. God, let me be your hands and your feet. Let me be your mouthpiece. Let me speak of how good you've been to me, Lord. So he says, y'all ain't caught nothing. That's my southern vernacular. They said, we ain't caught nothing, and we've told all night long. Now listen. He's talking to fishermen. He's not talking to amateurs. He said, why don't y'all go out into the deep? Not where the fish would have been that time of the day. They would have been feeding on the shallow parts. And throw your net on the other side of the boat. They didn't say, but Lord, you don't understand. We've been out there all night long. And we've tried this thing all night long. And there ain't no way we're going to catch any fish. No. They immediately got back in the boat and said, whatever he says, I'll do. When was the last time that God spoke to you and you did it without questioning God? But God, why? But God, how? But God, when? But God, who? No, he just said, go do it. He just said, do it. So they go out there and they throw their nets on the other side. And they brought in so many fish, the nets couldn't even hold them. Where were the fish before? They were still right there. But they weren't in obedience to God. They weren't doing what God wanted them to do. God was making a point here and said, you know what? You do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of you. Another reference I want to go to. Whenever Moses brought the children of Israel, God used him to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Some 2.3 million people, that's what the theologists estimate, come out. I thought about this week, Brother Kevin. They're standing at the edge of the Red Sea. Red Sea's big. They look behind them. Pharaoh's army is big. I told my wife, I said, why would God, Brother Eddie, bring them to the edge? Why wouldn't he completely move the Red Sea out of the way? He could do that. He's God. Why wouldn't he make them go around the Red Sea on a different path? He could do that. He's God. There's nothing that my God cannot do. I said, God, why would you do that? And he said, sometimes you got to know that you got to go through. Around is not an option. Over is not an option. Sometime you got to know I'm going to go through with you. Oh, hallelujah. You got to go through. I told him in my Sunday school class this morning, I said, sometimes, you know, this past week, I felt like that I've been that guy that wrote the poem, Footprints in the Sand. And sometimes I've looked back and Sister Linda, I said, God, how come during those rough times there was only one set of footprints? How come? And God said, because I was carrying you during those times, because you couldn't walk on your own. I remember when the boys were little, many years ago, when the boys were little, we'd go hiking or we'd go somewhere for a walk in the mall or something, and they would look up and they'd say, tote me, Daddy. Tote me, Daddy. I'm tired. I'm weary. My legs just can't keep going. Sometimes we got to look up at God and say, tote me, Daddy. Tote me. And I want you to know it's all right to say that. It's all right to rest in the presence of God. Because even Moses said, God, wherever you go, I want to go. Wherever you stay, I want to stay. He even got to the point to where he said, God, if you're not going to go with us, then don't even carry us up hence, because it ain't even worth it. And I'm talking about a guy that had a visual reminder, Brother David, day and night. In the daytime, he saw the cloud. At nighttime, he saw the supernatural light that went with him. A visual reminder. And he said, God, as long as my hand, is in your hand, I'll go wherever you lead me. Wherever you take me, I'll go. I'm not going to ask any questions, but I'll go. I'll be right there, God. I'll go. That's what God's looking for. He's not asking you to look around and say, you know what? The reason why this is this way and that is that way. No, he's saying, will you go with me? Will you go with me? Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with you, God. Wherever, I told the story this morning. I said, you know, when I was a younger man, even up until when my dad passed away, I wanted to hold my dad's hand because I felt the security and the safety of holding his hand because he was my dad. That was my hero. I loved him because he always took care of me. He always gave me advice, always watched out for me. And there was that security just holding his hand. Even as a man with a family and kids, I would come up to him and I'd say, Dad, I just want to let you know. Put my hand in his hand and say, I love you. I love you. And they say, I love you too, son. And I'm proud of you. It does something for you, I'm telling you. But sometimes we just need to reach out to God and saying, God, I'm not asking for nothing. I don't need nothing. I just want to hold your hand. I just want to hold your hand. God, I want to be in your presence, Lord. The psalmist David, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. And I'd rather be the one to clean the toilets, and I'd rather be the one to scrub the floors and be in the presence of God than to be the richest person on this planet. I'm telling you right now, because the benefits of being with God are far more outweigh than being the richest man on this planet. Amen. He takes care of me every day. I don't know if you've looked around, and it wasn't in my notes, but if you've looked around here lately, Brother Jim, when it gets really cold, I often wonder, where do the birds go in the spring? Do they just hibernate, or like they put their jackets on and fire their heaters up in their little trees, or what do they do, you know? Because they're staying outside, unless I have any staying in my house. I don't think I do. But And I got to looking yesterday. There was these little bitty blackbirds. If you look around, God will show you. It's 20 degrees outside. The wind's blowing it. It feels like 150 miles an hour. And it feels like it's like minus 20 outside. It's just so cold. And these little birds are just eating off my neighbor's grass. And they're sitting there, and God spoke to me and said, if I can take care of that little bird, in cold weather, how much more am I going to take care of you? Woo, you talk about hitting me upside the face. And I said, oh, God, how much more? Listen, my Bible tells me that he fashioned me in the likeness of his own image. I tell my wife all the time, I say, you're different than me. I don't like to hear myself talk. I don't like to hear myself preach. I don't like to hear myself sing. I don't like to look at myself in the mirror. I never have. That girl loves to look at herself in the mirror. I was like, girl, I say, you look good, honey. She looks herself. Man, I can't. When I get up in the morning, I promise you, Sister Winnie, that is not the person that just got out of the bed. I don't know who that guy is, but man, he needs Jesus. I'm telling you. I got all this going on right here. I don't know. My wife said, you can do stretches for that. I don't think I can, you know. And I look in the mirror, and I thank God every day. Because if it wasn't for God going to Calvary and paying my sin debt, I wouldn't be where I am today. I was talking to my mom last weekend. She came by for a visit, and she said, I can remember where God's brought you from and where you are today. And I thank God that he's done that in your life. And you know, I look at Tabitha and I say, God's been good to us. God's been good to us. When we first got married, we didn't have furniture. We had a few pots and pans, and that was about it. And I promise you, the contents of our house won't fit in an 18-wheeler now. I promise you that. God has been good. We've tried it. We know. God has been good to us. God has been good to you. I want to say a few more notes right here, just going in. I had a whole bunch of other scriptures wrote down. Psalms chapter number 84. If you ever think that David went through a little something, Psalms 84 and verse number, I want to start in verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. When was the last time your heart cried out for God? I'm talking about really cried out for God. Listen, God's not looking for a fancy prayer. God's not looking for what you have to benefit. I tell everybody all the time, I said, you know, when God got me, I'm not sure he fully understood the abilities that I have. Because he would have probably traded me in for somebody else. I need somebody with a little more skill here, buddy. But he's taken these two hands and these two feet. And I tell everybody, I said, you know, if I've got your number and God puts you on my heart, you're getting a text from me. That's just all. That's how it is. Okay? It ain't nothing that I'm poking my nose in your business, but I want to let you know I love you. God told me a long time ago, you might not think that you can do this, might not think that you can do that, but stick to what you know. I know how to love people. I've always been good at that. I know how to love people. I can hug people. I can pray for people. And I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, I told Tabitha the other day, I said, it gets me down when I see so many people sick. It gets me down. And you know, Brother Eddie, I think it should as a Christian. We should be able to bear one another's burdens and let you know, I want you to know something. You might not feel good, but somebody's praying for you. I had a difficult day on Monday. I'm just bragging a little bit. Difficult day on Monday. Very, you know, it kind of tops, you know, that's the worst day I've ever had, you know. It's kind of like you're in a personal contest to see what worst day you can have, you know. So it's the worst day in recent memory. I come home Monday night, you know, and of course you're going to vent, you know. What'd she do the next day? And I already knew she was going to do it before she did it. She calls up a bunch of people and said, will you pray? I'm talking about some people that'll storm the gates of hell with a water gun and mean business. And she did. She got a hold of it. And Tuesday was a better day. I came home. She said, how was today? And I said, who'd you have praying? I already knew. She said, well, I had so-and-so, and I called so-and-so, and I had so-and-so, and I could feel the prayers. You can't tell me there ain't power in prayer. You can't tell me, you sit back and you say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. You can pray. You can pray. You know, I've learned that there's two ways to fight the devil. Prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. When I talk to God, sometimes I have to talk to him and words can't describe what I'm saying. Sometimes it's just tears. But when I start praising, we're not going to go there, but Psalm chapter number 22, the psalmist David said, how good are you, Lord? You inhabit the praises of your people. God, when I praise you, you come and in, oh, hallelujah. You come in right where I'm at, in the situation I'm at, right in what I'm going through, and you inhabit that, God, meaning you take up residence there. You are right there with me. Come here, honey. Come here. You are right there with me. This lady right here has been, well, 22 years we've been married this year. 22. You know how I can remember that? We got married in the year 2000. That was easy. She's been right there with me. I've been right there with her. She loves me, no doubt. She loves her family, no doubt. She's very emotional when it comes to her family and when it comes to me. As long as she is with me, I know, Sister Jennifer, that everything's going to be all right. You just have that security to know. The other night, I told her, I said, we were sitting on the couch. I said, I just want to hold your hand. What do I do that for? Because I just want to hold your hand. That's why I'm going through a little something right here, honey. Let me hold your hand, okay? You know? So, so she says, okay. You know? But of course, you know, when I hold her hand, then the dog wants to jump up there. What's going on? What are y'all doing up here? You know, it's like having a little kid again, you know? But she's always been right there. She always holds me up in prayer. And she says, you know, I don't feel like I've been a good wife because of this and because of that. But let me tell you something. As long as she's right here, and as long as she's supportive, and as long as she's holding her husband and her family up in prayer, I can't think of a better thing a wife can do. There's not a better. Listen, we're going to go through some things. We're going to go through some storms. But you don't go through it alone. You don't go through it alone. Too many times we want to isolate ourselves, Brother Kevin. We want to come and we want to say, you know what? I'm going through this. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody can feel the pain that I'm going through. I'm speaking from experience right here. Nobody knows the hurt that I'm going through. Nobody knows the deep hurt that I feel. Words aren't adequate to describe the pain that I'm in right now. And I'm not talking about just physical pain. I'm talking about emotional pain. Don't isolate yourself. You're right there. And what prayer does, what getting somebody to help you pray over, they don't need to know the whole situation. They just need to know that you need prayer. What that does, Brother Eddie, that takes the healing salve of the Holy Ghost and puts it over those emotional wounds. I told my wife, and I told the lady did our taxes, I said, you know, she said, I heard you had a rough year last year. I said, yeah. I said, I went 43 years of my life, never had a surgery. And first one, I guess I just had to knock it out of the park. She said, well, God's brought you through that. But every so often, I'll tell Tabitha, I'll say, I got this scar right here, and it's doing something funny. Hurts. And first thing she'll say is, quit looking for stuff. I'm not looking for stuff. I'm just saying, I got a scar. I got a boo-boo over here, okay? You got to help me out. I need a Band-Aid or something. Y'all ain't big babies like I am. Come on. At least I'm going to confess I'm a big baby. 9 times out of 10, most of us men are big babies. That's what we are. We'll go out, listen, we'll go out and we'll work in the cold. I'll work in the minus 20 degree weather like a man, and I'll split firewood and do everything I need to do. But let me get a scratch on my finger. Jesus, take the wheel. I'm telling you, I know. And she'll say, honey, it's just a little scratch. You're just a big baby.
It might be, but it hurts. I don't understand.
Once we go through that and we get the healing salve applied, I've learned something about a scar. A scar is a sign of healing. It's a sign that I can show you, Brother Jim, this is where the surgeon went. This is where God went even further. I'll never forget, as long as I live, laying on that floor right there. I know what was going on. I know what was going on. Brother Eddie prayed for me, and he said, you're in the spiritual operating room right now. It was confirmed through Sister Susan. He said, you're in the spiritual operating room right now, and God's doing a work. I'm telling you, God did a work. There's no doubt God did a work. You've come along too, thank you, honey. You've come along too late to tell me God can't do it. It doesn't matter if it's physical, emotional, spiritual. We're all going to go through things. We're all going to have scars. Listen, if you're making it through this spiritual walk and not having scars, then your boat must still be at the harbor. That's all I got to tell you. If you look around and you say, well, so-and-so's got it so much better off than me, and they're driving a brand new Cadillac or a brand new this, and they're doing that, you don't know what they're fighting spiritually. You should hold them up in prayer. You should say, God, whatever they're going through, bless them. Bless them. Bless their hands. Bless their feet. Bless everything they go through. Psalm chapter number 3. I want to go there. Well, 84. Let's go to 84. Blessed is the man in verse number 5, whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Verse number 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Make it a well. I refer to when I open the message, God goes with us on the mountaintop, and if we make our bed in the lowest hell. David walked through a time of weeping and tears. Sometimes, hallelujah, we have to go through a time of weeping and tears. Sometimes it lasts for days. Sometimes it lasts for months. But you know what? Our tears that are coming down are filling up the dry spots that were in our life. God's using that. And he's saying what you need to do is you need to break your shovel out. Instead of breaking your Kleenexes out and saying, woe is me, God, you need to break your shovel out and saying, God, this is your will. I'm in your will. I might have to walk through this low spot, but I'm a digging. I'm going to keep on a digging. I'm going to keep on a digging. I'm going to go a little bit deeper. There's an old song that says, I want to dig a little bit deeper in God's love. If that's the love that God has for me, let me get deeper. Let me go deeper. God, take me deeper. I don't want to be at the harbor anymore. I'm tired of the stagnant, God. I want to go with you. Wherever you lead me, I'm going to go, God. If we got to go through a storm, but we're going to get to the other side. We're going to get somewhere. We're going somewhere. Amen. Tabitha, she was showing me these pictures. She knows I love big houses, beautiful houses. She was showing me these pictures of a beautiful house. I was like, wow. Had a pure library in it, Brother Thomas. I was like, that's for some rich people right there. You know? I'm like, let me guess, about 2 million? She's like, yeah, 2.3. I was like, yeah, wow. You know? But I was thinking, Sister Wendy, about the verse that says, I hath not seen, no ear hath heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, such as the Lord has planned. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, when I get to the other side, you're going to have to watch out, because I'm going to be walking on streets of purest gold. I'm going to have a mansion. I'm going to be able to see my Jesus face to face. I'm going to put my hand in his hand. I'm going to look at his nail-scarred hands and say, that's how I got here. That's why I made it through. The Apostle Paul, he referred to it. Now, he was shipwrecked twice, left for dead twice. And he, at the very end of his ministry, he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed with, oh, hallelujah, shall be revealed within us. I'm letting you know right now, this is not your home. This is not your home. You wonder why you feel like a pilgrim, because you weren't ever meant to stay here. This is just a place to go before I get to my permanent home. Sister Jennifer sings a song about that. When I get over there to my permanent home, what's it going to be like? I want to read one more verse of scripture, and I promise I'll close. If you listen fast, I'll talk fast. I love this one, and this is generally my go-to scripture right here. It's also a beautiful song that I hear a lot. Psalm chapter number 3 and verse number 1. David's first prayer of distress. Lord, how they are increased, are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. In verse number 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. My glory and the lifter up of my head. Sometimes our head gets down. It's human. That's what we do. We hurt. But I want you to know that there is a Savior who is our glory, who is our shield, who is the lifter up of our head. We have to face sickness. We have to face loved ones with a terrible sickness. But I want you to know it's not the end. It's not the end. I'm reminded of the prophet Elisha. He comes out. His servant comes out, looks around, and he says, "Uh-oh, we're in trouble. There's a whole army all the way around us. Pretty much don't see no way out of this thing." And he goes back in, and he tells the prophet, and he said, "Hey, man, you need to wake up." I said, "What is it?" "We got bad problems." I'm telling you right now, we got bad problems. Prophet gets up and looks around. Servant says, "What are we going to do?" He said, "You look up a little bit higher." See, too many times, Brother David, we're focused on what's right in front of us. And we'll look around at all the situations. We'll hear the news media report to us on how bad it is, and we'll believe it. And we'll look around and we'll say, "It's never going to get any better. It's never going to." And after a while, we start believing it. But if we look up a little bit higher, oh, come on, somebody. You got to think of this thing in a spiritual sense. If we look up, listen, every battle that was ever fought on the earth was fought in the heavens first. My Bible says there's spiritual warfare being taken place for your soul in the heavens right now. Right now. You think you ain't nobody? God's fighting for you right now. Come on, somebody. Satan wants to take your soul and sift it and stir it like wheat. But God said, "Nah, I prayed for you. I prayed for you." Hallelujah. Ain't that something that God prayed for me? Oh, my. God prayed for you, Brother Kevin, that you would make it. And he said, "Look up a little bit higher." And the servant said, "They that for us are greater than those that are against us." I like them odds a lot better. You know, when more people's on my team than what's on the other team, I know, hey, man, we got this. Got this. We as Christians, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep looking up, because soon we're going to be going home. Soon. The other morning I woke up, and I'll be honest with you, Sister Linda, I woke up and wasn't really feeling that good. And I thought, Brother Eddie, I said, man, today'd be a good day to have that trumpet sound. Really good day. You know, get up, rolled up out of the bed, and I said, man, today would God would be a really, really. I know I don't have much input, but Lord, please let that trumpet sound today. I was about halfway ready, you know, in one of them positions where, you know, just let me hear a trumpet and I'm gone, you know. Man, y'all ain't never been like that. Y'all ain't never had days like that where you say, you look at the eastern sky, it's like, that thing parting? Am I seeing something? Honey, is the eastern sky parting? Because I promise you, if I hear a trumpet, I'm out of here. You know? We should be that ready to go. We should be that ready to go. I've not left anything in this world that I'm holding on to. There's nothing, Brother Eddie, that I'm holding on to anymore. I couldn't say that 10 years ago. I couldn't say that. But my foot is on the rock, and my mind is made up. Heaven is my home, and I'm ready to go. I'll be honest, I listen to a lot of songs about set me on the rock, Joshua, and about how I just want to look over the promised land. Some of the good old songs where it talks about going over to the other side, and I can't help but cry. Not because I miss being there, because I can't wait to be there. I can't wait. What am I going to see? I was listening when I get into the shower. I told you this song. I told you this. I listen to the radio a lot. And I'll turn it on to whatever it's named, Echo or whatever it is. Play blah, blah, blah. And it plays it. And here lately I've been on Casting Crowns and Mercy Me for some reason. But they started off with, "I can only imagine." I was in the shower, and I felt like I was crying more tears than what that shower water was putting out. You ever have that? You just, you know, one of those good, you know, just everybody, because, you know, my friend of mine I got in Florida, my old pastor, he used to tell me, he said, sometimes you have to just clear this out. Sometimes you have to just clear out the tears. It's all right. God knows. And when it said, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? I can't imagine that, Sister Linda. I've not been in that position before. I don't know what my heart's going to feel. I know that the joys I felt in my life, and my mind goes back, Brother Thomas, to think about when I got married and think about when the boys were born and think about the happy times of our life. But that's a small comparison to being in the presence of God. Will I dance before you, Jesus? I'm going to be looking face to face into my Savior, to the one who paid the price for my sins, to the one that gave me a heavenly body. I'm going to be looking face to face. It's not a myth. It's not a story. It's something that's really, Brother Jim, going to happen one day. I can only imagine. If you're going through something, keep on keeping on. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't throw up your hands and say, nobody understands what I'm going through. No, you grab somebody that you trust and you say, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? I just want you to pray for me. Not somebody that's going to say, oh, but Scott, what's wrong with you? Just pray for me. Pray for me. If somebody comes up to you and says, just pray for me, don't ask questions. Just pray. If God wants you to know, He'll tell you. If He doesn't want you to know, He won't tell you. That's fine. Listen, I'm resolved that I trust God. When somebody wants me to pray for them, I'm going to pray whatever God's will is for their life. Let me stand in the gap for somebody, God. Let me be that person that I stand in the gap. But sometimes I need somebody to stand in the gap for me. Sometimes I need somebody that I can lean on. There's an old song that says, lean on me when you're not strong. In that marriage relationship, and I know everybody thinks I'm building up points for Valentine's Day. I'm still working on that. I'm in the hole from last year, so I'm trying. But we lean on that person that's in our life. Don't run from them. Lean on them. Because when you're leaning on somebody and they're leaning on you, you can hold them up and they can hold you up. We're in this together. It's a fight. It's a fight till the bitter end. Satan doesn't play fair. He's going to get you wherever he can get you. When we used to play football, they always used to tell us, don't block below the knees. They would actually tell you, don't get it below the waist, but don't do it below the knees because you'll hurt somebody. Bless God, you'll be going, somebody just, you know, dude, seriously? You know, that's how Satan is. He's not going to play fair. He's going to get a hold of your emotions. He's going to get a hold of your body. But I want to tell you that there is somebody seated at the right-hand throne of God, and His name is Jesus. And we have an advocate with the Father that we can go to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And He not only hears our prayers, but He answers them. And He goes to the Father and He petitions the Father and says, Father, this person right here is going through something. Send an angel to help them. Angels are dispatched just that quick. Don't think about that, do we? We don't. Sometimes when we pray and we say, God, I really need your help. Be specific. Be specific. And say, God, I need joy. I need joy back in my life again. I'm tired of feeling sad and in the mully grubs, and I need joy. God will give it to you. Amen. If you'll stand, if I can have the music come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're going through something tonight and you've not told a soul, I want you to know God knows. God knows. Not only does He know, He loves you. There is nobody in this world that loves you more than Jesus loves you. Think about that statement for a second. Nobody loves you more than Jesus loves you. Let him wrap his arms around you and just let him love you. Just let him love you. God, it's been a tough time. God, I don't know where you've been for so long. I feel like I'm 100,000 miles from you. And God said, I've been right beside you the whole time. I've been holding you up in the difficult times. I've been encouraging you and helping you, giving you the strength to walk forward. If you need a touch from Jesus, whether it's in your physical man, your emotional man, your spiritual man, whatever it might be, this altar is open. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good.
Matters to It matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain or your if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. When life gets you down, you feel more broken than whole. That I really want you to know. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. You're really needing an answer. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the Maker and Giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? He sees the sparrow that falls to the ground, and he hears the tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in his sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share those burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, are you really needing an answer? If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share. share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it doesn't only matter to you.
He knows your very thoughts. He knows everything you're going through. And as Brother Chris preached tonight, he will not leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Searching for Jesus, that's exactly what the world needs. I know they're searching for a lot of things, but the answer to all of their problems is Jesus. God bless you. We love you so much. Thank you for coming tonight. Brother David, good to have you and your wife with us tonight. Girlfriend, all right. Good to have your girlfriend with us tonight. Just thank you. Enjoyed that song. Enjoyed you worshiping with us. God bless you. We pray that you have a blessed week and a wonderful time in the Lord. Remember, as you pray for those who are still sick, those who are still struggling with different things. So with this prayer, we'll be dismissed tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we just want to love you, and we want to thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. God, thank you for the word that we heard. Thank you for anointing Brother Chris's body, God, and speaking through him tonight. Father, I pray that we would take the word to our heart tonight, God, and we'll be submissive, obedient, and know that you're going to be with us through every matter and every situation. Ask for your leadership, ask for your guidance, Lord, for your safekeeping of this congregation until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.